Yep. All right, back to chapter 41. Let's read a couple of verses again. Well, let's read verses 55 through 57 again. Chapter 41 of Genesis. When all the land of Egypt was famished, people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do it. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because famine was so sore in all lands. This is such an appropriate message for this time, isn't it? Though these are the most affluent times, yet these are perilous times, a spiritually dry time, dead time. There's a famine which Hosea prophesied of, famine not of bread, but of the hearing of the word. And it says you have to go a long ways to find it. So we're in that time. We're not in that time. The world is in that time. We are blessed. We're eating fat things and drinking wine on the leaves. How blessed we are. While the world is feeding on mere husks of religion, we eat five course meals every time. Five, mind you. And it says the famine was over all the face of the earth. All the places. There's no place where this famine did not reach. And the scripture says, in Adam, all die. All men are dead, born dead in sin. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scripture says they are all together become unprofitable. And it says that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, said, if you want something, you've got to go to Joseph. He told everyone, all over, whoever it was, the whole world, was to report to Joseph. If you wanted something, anybody wanted something, doesn't matter where they were, there's only one person that had it, Joseph. And what a picture this is, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God hath made Lord over all, whom Christ said, he's given me authority over how much, how many men, how, what part of the world? All flesh. Didn't he say that? As thou hast given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Listen to Colossians. It says, in Christ, all things were created in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Whether men and women know it or not, everything they receive is by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It comes from the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who opens the storehouses to all flesh. Whether they know Him or not, whether they acknowledge Him or not, they're getting it from Christ. And they're accountable to believe Him. Paul said, have they not heard? Yes, they have. The sound's gone all over. And all men are accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to judge this world by that man, whom He hath ordained and given all things into His hand. So this is such a clear picture, isn't it? It says the famine was sore. You see it? Verse 56. The famine was sore waxed sore in the land of Egypt. Verse 57 says in the last line, famine was so sore in all the land. In other words, it was a matter of life or death. That's what that meant. It was so sore. People were dying. And this thing of the gospel is a matter of life and death. Things are desperate in this world. They really are. And sick and sore times. All right. I have two points to this outline. Didn't give you an outline this time. Number one, nobody said anything about the other one. but besides the fact, this one's only 2 points. 2 points. I don't need to write them down. All right. Number one is our desperate need. You're taking notes. Our desperate need. And the second point is the good news. All right. Our desperate need. Look at with me. It says his famine was sore in all the land. Look over at Luke chapter 10 very quickly. Luke chapter 10. And I sure don't want to go as long tonight as I did Sunday morning. It's sure hard to know what to leave out, though. It's just everything's so good. Like you ladies, that's why you prepare so many courses and so much food. Luke chapter 10. We're poor and needy. We're all poor and needy. We're born that way, and we'll be that way till we die. Spiritually, poor and needy. We don't have wisdom. We don't have righteousness. We have nothing. We're the only animal on earth that can't make it on its own. We're the only animal on earth born without a company. We're barefoot and naked. We couldn't live a minute without a parent, without help. Can't walk till we're well up in age. But we're poor. We don't have what we need. We're needy. All our days we're needy. We need a handout from our God. We're charity cases. When there's one thing needful, truly one thing needful, that we all need all the days of our life. Look at Luke chapter 10. It's a matter of life and death. One thing will meet our need. Verse 38, it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which sat at Christ's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was fine serving, but the problem was she was cumbered about it. Nothing wrong with serving. It's a good thing. Our Lord commends serving, but not when you're cumbered with it. And it says, she came to him and said, Lord, and this is what being cumbered about with anything will do to you. Start complaining to the Lord. Even charging him. Lord, don't you care? It'll get you in a bad shape is what it'll get you. If you leave off the one thing needful and be cumbered about with any other thing, no matter how needful it is, no matter how profitable it may be, no matter how virtuous it might be, if you leave off the one thing you're getting a bad shape. And she said, Lord, don't you care? My sister had left me to serve alone. Bid her, tell her to help me. Christ answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. He said it with such compassion, I know, yet gentle rebuke. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. That's one thing needful. And Mary had chosen that good part. Mary had chosen. And it's not going to be taken away from her. What's that? What was Mary doing? Listening to Christ. Hearing the gospel. One thing is needful. And everything else must take a back seat to this. One thing is needed, to hear the gospel. It's a matter of life or death. Everything and everyone else needs to be put aside for this, because this is the one thing needful. If you don't, if anything else takes the place of this, you'll get just like Martha. Troubled and full of care. All right, so this is the one thing needful. David said it in Psalm, turn back to the text. David said it in Psalm 27. He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple." One thing has caught my eye, he said. One thing has my affection. One thing needful. Had a woman call me on the phone as I was preparing this message yesterday. 52-year-old widow. And I feel for her, I really do. She said she was on disability, and I get these calls every single day. And she wanted some assistance, said the power company was going to cut her heat off Monday or something like that. I asked her if she had any children. She said, "Yes, I have a son." I said, "What kind of son is he?" He let his mother go without heat. Anyway, said, "Do you go somewhere? Do you go to church?" She said, "Oh, yes, I go somewhere." I said, "What kind of church is that? I'd let one of their members go without heat?" I finally said to her, in the course of this conversation, I said, "Well, what I tell them all, we don't have much silver and gold, but what we have we'll give unto you." If you come down with us, we'll do you good. You come here, and you'll hear the one thing needful. I said, "I guarantee you, we get to know you, you'll never be forsaken or begging bread." Huh? Anybody in here about to have your heat turned off? Please let me know right now. Sad, isn't it? Sad. Well, one thing needful. Our Lord said, "Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Every word is needful. One thing needful is God's words, God's gospels, God's truth, and every word is the truth. You can't live without any of them, the whole counsel. Well, Christ is life, and he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I don't care how much of this life they have. If they don't have the Son, they don't have life. So this is life. He that hath the Son hath life. Well, all right. Now, there was a great need of bread here in our story. It was a desperate condition. They were all in a desperate condition. And they had one thing needful. And it was a great need of bread. Much bread was needed. Jacob's family, by this time, was very large. He had, 11 sons at home, 12, really. And they had sons, and their sons had sons, grandchildren, nieces, nephew. And John and I were talking about how sorry the sons of Jacob were. Apparently, they were all still living at home. And Jacob was taken care of. What a sorry bunch the sons of Jacob are. And anyway, there were over 70 people in Jacob's house. They needed a lot of bread, didn't they? Huh? A lot of bread. Jacob's family was a lot. And they all needed one thing. One thing, ripped bread. And they needed a lot of it. They needed every day's worth. You know, one helping wasn't going to get it. You see the picture here. And everyone in here needs one thing. We all need Christ. Young or old, all of Jacob's sons, grandsons, male, female, they all needed the one thing. Young, old, male, female, we all need Christ. One thing that, and there's much mercy and much grace needed. Not just today, but tomorrow and all the days of our life. And there's only one person who has it. One person. Much bread needed, and Joseph had it. Look at chapter 41, and he had a lot of it. Look at verse 49. Chapter 41 says, Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. How much? Very much. Until what? He quit counting it. It was without number. How much corn did Joseph have? Did he have enough to spare for Jacob's son? Wait till you see what they go home with. Wait till you see what they go home with. He had enough for anybody that wanted it. And it appears to me, Steve, it appears to me that whatever you brought, he'd fill it up. If you brought a wagon, it didn't matter. It didn't say everybody was allotted one homer of grain. It just said he opened the storehouses. It depends on how hungry you were, or depends on what you asked for. And I bet it would have, Joseph would have been honored and flattered if somebody said, hey, I want 5 tons. Sure. You do honor me. I wish I could think of that story right now. Oh, well, don't have time. Anyway, so he had much grain, much food, and our Lord has much mercy. Much mercy. Enough to go around and more to spare, and it endures forever. Well, look at chapter 42. There was no food anywhere with anyone, anywhere or anything. There's no food anywhere. There's only one place to find this food. And look at chapter 42, verse 1. It says, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one for another? Apparently, like we were saying, John, they're all just standing around doing nothing. But you and he were talking, looking at each other. What a bunch. Whew. Looking at one another. Levi would say to Simeon, you got any bread? No. Simeon would say to Reuben, you got any? No. Ask Benjamin. He doesn't have any. What about old Zebulun? Don't think so. They tried everyone. Nobody had it. No one could help each other. Story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son said after he wasted all he had and he began to be in want, he went to his friends after that. Went to all his old cronies. And none of them would help him. None of them could help him. There's only one place he could go. He'd go back to the Father. He had to come to himself. And you know, man, it says here in chapter 41 that they all cried to Joseph for bread. Man gets in straits, doesn't he? Man gets in trouble. All kinds of trouble. They call on God. And quite often, well, whatever man receives, he receives from God, doesn't he? Everything's mercy. But too often, man calls on man to help. I was watching a show the other night. Some woman was in one of these confessional booths, you know, pouring out her, confessing her sins and stuff to a little man sitting behind that booth. What a shame, isn't it? He can't do anything about his own sin. Matter of fact, he's enjoying what he's hearing. But men, women call on men, or even women to help. Call on the priest, call on the minister, psychiatrists, counselors, big business, psychic readers. I even heard one time, you're not going to believe that, a so-called grace preacher. This man claimed to be a grace preacher, and he started having a nervous breakdown. That immediately made him suspect to me. Anyway, he called on a Christian psychiatrist. Christian psychiatrist. Would somebody tell me what that is, please? A Christian psychiatrist. Well, anyway, our problem's too big. Here's the problem. Our problem's too big and too great for any mere mortal man to take care of. Our problem's a heart problem. Our problem's a sin problem. And there's only one that can take care of it. Only one. Sin's our great problem. Our great need is mercy. Number one, mercy. Our great need is grace. God's the God of all grace. Our great need is salvation. We need a great salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. We're going to have to go to Him. And we're going to have to be like the prodigal. We're going to have to come to ourselves, come to our senses, to see our desperate condition and our great need, and go to the only one that can do anything about it. Go back to the Father, confessing our unworthiness, confessing our sins, and you know what He'll do? He does it for all prodigals. Every time, He kills a fatted calf. He brings the best robe, puts a ring on the finger, shoes on the feet. Every time. For every prodigal. Yes, He does. So we've got a desperate need, a desperate condition. There's only one that can meet it. Our Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no accident or mere coincidence, brother, that the names sound familiar. Joseph, Jesus Christ. All right. Here's the good news. It's our desperate condition. Here's the good news. Now, Jacob is like a gospel preacher here. Jacob represents a gospel preacher. Look at verse 1 again. When Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, who saw it? Her. Jacob saw it. Paul said, I delivered unto you that which I also received. In 1 Corinthians 15. I'm preaching to you what I've heard. I'm going to declare unto you what I heard, what I received. Like my pastor always says, you can't tell what you don't know. Even any more than you can come back from where you ain't been. And those who only, you're going to hear Christ from someone who's heard Christ. You're going to see Christ from someone who's seen Him, seen His glory. Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt. He understood. Jacob saw. Now here's what Jacob, representing a gospel preacher, here's what he saw. He saw that they all needed corn. Didn't they? This is what he saw. This is what he talked about. This is what he told them to do. In other words, Jacob had one message. Corn. It's a simple message, Brother Stan. Boy, it's the best news they ever heard. He saw they all needed corn. Jacob needed corn. He needed to eat that corn, didn't he? I need corn. And Jacob heard. Jacob, when he saw, it means he heard. He didn't see. He didn't go there. He didn't actually go there and see the corn. But he heard this news from somebody, you see. And he understood the good news. There's corn in Egypt. He believed this, Brother Sam. He believed. Somebody told him. Jacob was a faithful father. Had to stay with that family that big. Faithful father. Faithful man. Took him years to get this way. Old Jacob. You remember old Jacob, don't you? So now he's finally. He's a good man. He's a faithful man. Father of many. And they came to him at this time. You know, the big family, you've got various problems, right? 11 sons and daughters-in-laws and grandsons and grandchildren. There's all kind of problems. And they all were coming to him at this very same time with various problems. You know, you got problems. Corn's not the only problem. Something he's not. Dad, my tent's about to break down. I need a new tent. Dad, my chariot. I need a new wheel. If I could just get new wheels on my chariot, I think things would be so much better.
my boss is just about to get the best of me down at the grain mill because there's some grain. And, you know, they had various problems at this time. And they were coming to Jacob with all these problems. He said, boys, we all got one problem. Let's take care of all our problems. We just get this one problem solved. We need corn. And what Jacob heard, Jacob, when he saw it, said, it means he heard. What happened? This is what happened. Someone was passing by one day. He was down in Canaan. And somebody was passing. Jacob was out on his porch or out in the garden or out looking at the fields or up on the mountain or something, you know, looking around. Praying, I'm sure he was calling on his God. And all of a sudden he sees a fella going by with on a mule or something. Or on a horse and pulling a mule and got sacks of grain on that mule. And Jacob saw that and he went running down there. He said, hey, what you got there? He said, grain. Grain? Yeah, corn. And he said, Jacob said, where'd you get it? Who'd you get it from? Where'd you get it? The fellow said, I got it in Egypt. What? You just went out there and got it. Who's giving it? There's a Lord on the throne, a great king. He's a great man. He's a fearful man. But he's a good man. And he'll give corn out. Well, you reckon he'll sell it to anybody? I mean, we need corn bad. He said, you reckon they got enough to go around? He said, well, all I'd say is go up there and try. So he heard the good news, didn't he? That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. I bet he thought, I wonder if there's any left. I hope there'll be some left when we get that. So here's the good news. He tells the good news to these sons of Jacob. These sorry, worthless sons of Jacob. And you know, it's like someone said years ago, gospel preaching, all it is one beggar telling another beggar where he got food. Right? So Jacob heard it too. Jacob saw it. Now, I bet these things went through his mind. He's a man. And I bet several things went through his mind. He thought, Egypt. Have you looked at my map when I need it? Canaan and Egypt, you know how far that is? Egypt. Got to go all the way to Egypt. That's the only place there is corn. Egypt. He thought, well, it's a long ways. But we won't die without it. He thought, now there's a great Lord on the throne down there. A great Egyptian Lord. A great Egyptian master, king, Lord on the throne. And I hear they're hard taskmasters. I know they are. I've heard the story. And we're just a bunch of no good Jews. Surely he won't sell grain to a bunch of no good Jews. This great Lord and Master on the throne of Egypt. Surely not. But we need it. And he thought, even if we do go down there, we won't be able to afford it. It'll be too much money. It'll be great cost. But he thought, we're going to die without it. So we're going to venture, if we have to, we'll sell everything we've got. And I don't care if it's in the ends of the earth. We got to have corn. So here's Jacob's announcement. Are you getting the picture here? Here's Jacob's announcement. Jacob told everybody. Now this happened. I know this happened. One day, when he heard the news, Jacob told everybody, he said, gather yourselves together. I don't know who he told to get it. Maybe Reuben, the oldest, said, get everybody together. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So many times I called and you don't come. You better come this time. Every one of them. You miss out, you'll die. Is that serious, Ben? That's serious. Now, I bet you some of them made excuses. Simeon said, "Dad, I'm sure they're busy." Simeon, son, you better get beat down. Levi said, "Dad, the little wife's not feeling good today, and I'm about to." Levi, you pick her up bodily. You've got to hear this message. Get them down here, all my sons. Were they all there? Every one of them. All the sons were there. They're going to hear and they're going to learn of the following. And they're going to be sent to the brother. Oh, I love this story. Don't you? Hey, get your children together. You don't want to miss this. You'll die if you don't hear. All right, verse 2. And at verse 1, he said, "Now don't try you to stand around looking at one another." Now, I just know that a shout went out of that crowd. I bet there wasn't a hungry son of Jacob. There wasn't a hungry daughter of Jacob. That when they heard the mention, corn, that their eyes lit up, and their mouths opened wide. Is that right, Dad? Yes, it's right. There's corn in Egypt. You chief of sinners, hear these words. There's forgiveness with them. There's forgiveness with God. Ye laboring and heavy laden, hear these words. Come, and I'll give you rest. Ye hungering and thirsting for righteousness, hear these words. You'll be filled. And all these things added to you. Hear these words, ye men of Israel. There's a man on the throne. And he just delights to open the store. Christ has made all things thus. Yes, there's corn, there's mercy with our God. Grace. And look at his advice again. Verse 2, he said, in verse 2, here's what you need to do, he said. Get you down. Get down. All of you, go down. And he said, get down thither. Sound like an urgent message, didn't it? And he said, and buy for us from them that we may live and not die. All of you, get down. All of you, get to Christ. All of you, come down. All of you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. All of you, bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. Right now. Right now. It's life or death. Get down. Right now. Why will you die? Buy. Come. Buy wine and milk. Now they took price. Then. But we're going to see that it didn't cost the son of Jacob anything. Joseph's brother. Let me let you in on a little something. Up to this point, they're called the sons of Jacob. But now with Joseph on the throne, from here on out, they're referred to as Joseph's brother. Up to this point, they're no good, worthless sons of Jacob. They're not a one of them in any count. But since Joseph's on the throne, they're called Joseph's brethren. Joseph's brethren. Look at verse 3. So it says, and Joseph's 10 brethren went down. Every one of these sons bowed down. Went down. It's no accident that Canaan was located up here in Egypt, that they had to go down to get there. No mere geographical coincidence. No, this is spiritual truth. Everything, this is God's word, isn't it? Huh? It's too marvelous not to be. God's word. And it says they went to buy corn in Egypt. Went to buy corn from a man they didn't know, but he knew them. And he saw them coming.
and they cometh to him to buy wine and milk. Cost what it may, no matter how far it was, no matter how much they feared this great and mighty king, they said, we're going to die without him. So they ventured. They went on a venture. But as we're going to see in the rest of our story, it's free to family. It's free to family. All you can hold. And you know something? That's the end of it. Look over chapter 43. Chapter 43. Now, this is after they went the first time, came back. Chapter 43, look at verse 1. And the famine was sore in the land. There was still a famine. Still a famine going on. And verse 2 says, and it came to pass, when they'd eaten up the corn which they brought out of Egypt, their father said, better go again. You better go again. Where? There's only one place to go. He said, let's go again. They're out of bread. Better go back again. Same one. He'll give it to us this time. I expect he will. Go anyway. We're going to die without it. We're going to need this bread the rest of our day. And stay tuned. It gets better. Sunday morning, God willing, we're going to look at Joseph, unknown to his brethren. So read the rest of chapter 42 in preparation for Sunday morning. And I hope we'll look at that Sunday morning. All right, let's stand. Our Father, thank you for your word. We have indeed feasted upon it. Just one verse, two verses are so full of our feasts of the Lord Jesus Christ, of every truth, the whole counsel of God. When you open it up to us, it's seen, it's understood, and one line, one verse of your marvelous word. How we thank you for it. Thank you that our elder brother is king, his Lord, his master on the throne. We need great mercy and grace all the days of our lives, and we ask that in Christ's name he'll continue to be merciful and gracious to us, and we believe he will. We pray all these things in his name, for his honor and glory. Amen. You're dismissed.